You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
On March 29th, Finance Minister Jim Flaherty tabled the federal budget for 2012. One of the casualties of government cost-cutting was the CBC. It faces a 10% cut in its federal funding to be rolled out over the next 3 years. Before the cuts were announced, openmedia.ca and leadnow.ca launched a project to reimagine the CBC. Tyler Morgenstern is a spokesperson for Reimagine the CBC, and he joins me in the studio this morning. Hi, Tyler.
Hi.
What was the impetus for the campaign?
Well, basically, at openmedia.ca and at LeadNow, we knew that the budget was going to be coming down sometime in the early spring, around the end of February, the end of March, somewhere in there. And we knew that there was going to be need to mobilize people and start talking about what the future of the CBC looks like in light of those sorts of cuts that we knew were coming. But we wanted to have that conversation in a slightly different way, because typically when budgets come down and cuts come down, we talk about save the CBC and stop the cuts, which are, of course, important actions. But there's also a really big and really interesting conversation to be had about, as we move forward into an increasingly digital media landscape where we've got citizen-produced radio and cooperative-produced content like you do here, what's the role of public media in that kind of landscape? And that's the kind of conversation we wanted to convene.
The campaign has a number of different components. What are they?
Well, we have the sort of anchor point for the campaign is our ideas forum. So at reimaginecbc.ca, basically anybody can go in and submit an idea for what they think the future of the CBC looks like. It can be about more openness and accountability and governance. It can be about Canadian content or programming or digital services. It can be a favorite thing that the CBC already does that they want to see more of. And then the idea is to eventually take all those ideas and move them through a process of sort of smaller and smaller voting to eventually produce a report that we're going to take to the CBC and the CRTC. But there's also a number of other initiatives. So we have our Keep Canada Connected petition running right now since the budget came out, which opposes the cuts and calls for sort of full and stable long-term funding for the CBC. And we also have a live on-the-ground component to it. So on May 7th, we're hosting an event at the Vogue Theatre here in Vancouver featuring storytellers and visioning presentations and live music, all about celebrating the past, present, and future of the CBC.
What have you been hearing from people so far?
Well, the folks in our forum have an incredible array of ideas. It's really fantastic because I think what's interesting about the Reimagine way of talking about it is that it's sort of a convergence point for all the different people who have a stake in the CBC. So young people who are used to engaging with the CBC, say through Radio 3, which is this really interesting online digital participatory platform. And then you have an older generation that's also used to engaging with the CBC as a broadcast medium. So what's interesting is watching how those two communities are kind of overlapping and talking about how the CBC can work closer with community media producers to find interesting Canadian content at a lower cost, talking about reviving some of the older spirit of the CBC, brave, in-depth, investigative reporting, not having to look over its shoulder when it's doing its reporting, and sort of those, that sort of overlapping of generations and priorities in the CBC has been really fantastic to see.
I understand that one of the challenges that the CBC is facing right now is the possibility that it may lose funding for local programming. Tell me about that.
What tends to happen with this latest round of budget cuts, most of those cuts this time are actually falling at the network level. So they're doing things like getting sort of divesting a lot of real estate space and stuff like that. But when you lose capacity at the network level, you're going to lose capacity at the regional level as well. So we're seeing plans for local broadcasting in places like Kamloops sort of indefinitely delayed, in-house documentary production getting cut almost completely, and sort of these sort of frontline services where Canadians living in communities often outside of major urban centers where there aren't a lot of media options, they're seeing those places where where their voices are reflected back to them, kind of either getting delayed or reduced in capacity or reshuffled or jobs being cut or programming being cut. Espace Musique, which is sort of the French language equivalent of Radio 2, is losing about 50% of its regional programming slots because of these funding cuts. And, you know, with advertising being introduced on Radio 2 and Espace Musique, that sort of leaves less time for Canadian content, regional content, local content, and more time for, you know, products from elsewhere and selling messages from elsewhere. So that is something that we're going to see, I think.
How does funding for the CBC compare with national broadcasters in other industrialized countries?
Canada actually has very, very low per capita funding for public media and public broadcasting. Among the sort of 18 industrialized nations that are usually taken as proxies for that measure, Canada actually has the third lowest public media investment ahead of only the New Zealand and the United States. And the United States doesn't even have a proper public broadcaster. They have NPR and PBS, but those are ultimately sort of privately funded initiatives. So the average is, I think, around, I think $81 or $82 per capita. Canada comes in around $34. So it's very, very low. And when you think about what we get for $34 a year per head, it's pretty incredible. We get investigative journalism in English and French and 9 First Nations languages. We get coverage from coast to coast to coast. We get digital services. We get documentary. We get music. We get arts and culture and drama, all for $34 or $35 a year. So it's pretty incredible what they're able to do with that. And I think if we could have stable long-term and increased funding, we could really see something incredible happen with the CBC. So
yeah, it's interesting because there, of course, Canada has always had this myth of being, you know, a communications leader and
right.
The idea of things like, you know, the CNR or the CBC have mm-hmm. always been these sort of kind of like icons of, you know, connection across like this vast landscape, and yet, and that what you're saying is that we're actually spend less per capita than many other countries.
We spend less per capita, and also increasingly we're falling behind in terms of digital service and digital communication in Canada. We have a very wide digital deficit here compared to most places around the world, industrialized nations. We lag in affordability and access to digital services. Broadband and wireless services are sort of restrictive wireless contracts here. So we really are falling behind as a communications leader in a very big way, and largely to the detriment of people outside of cities like Vancouver. Rural communities and First Nations communities and those sorts of things, they aren't getting the access to the sort of digital and media services that they really deserve to be a part of our communities. So,
did you find any in the kind of forums that you've had from people, have you also heard a strain that's a critique of the CBC now in terms, for instance, of its journalism, which you know, isn't as strong as some other national broadcasters like the BBC, for instance?
Right. Well, I think most of the criticism that we've seen of the CBC in our forum has mostly come in the form of critiques of governance and accountability. People really do love the idea of a strong public media alternative. I think the idea that Canadians think that the CBC is out of date or obsolete, or that public broadcasting is obsolete, is, I think, wrong. I think we're seeing that people really do believe in having that layer built into our media landscape, but they want to know, and fairly, where their money is going. And they want to feel a sense of ownership over those dollars that they're giving. And I don't think that's an unfair proposition. So I think a lot of people are just saying that they want to know where their money's going, and they want to see themselves reflected in their CBC for the money that they're putting into it. So that's sort of most of the critique that we've seen. We actually see a call for like a revival of investigative journalism at the CBC, but I don't think it's necessarily a critique of the CBC itself. It seems to be more, it seems to come with an awareness of the fact that that capacity gets lost with funding cuts.
How deep are the cuts that the CBC is facing?
$115 million. That's a 10% budget cut over the next 3 years. 2.5% this year, and then accumulating to 10% over the next three.
Some people say that the government is testing the waters to see what kind of reaction it'll get from Canadians to the funding cuts. Is that what you think is happening?
Well, I think there's definitely an element by having that sort of 2.5% initial cut as opposed to a 10% all at once. It gives the impression that they're softening the blow, that we're not gutting you, we're not slashing and burning. It kind of softens the edge on it a bit. But when push comes to shove, a 10% cut and a $115 million cut, there's no way, no matter how slowly that gets rolled out, the CBC can absorb that kind of cut without losing services and without losing capacity to serve Canadians. So I think there is a little bit of a sort of bait and switch that has been built into the way that those cuts are being rolled out.
Do you think that the cuts are ideological?
Yeah, I do. I mean, across the Heritage Department, there is an average cut of about 7% to department funding, to other programs and to other initiatives. The CBC saw a 10% cut. So it was sort of disproportionately targeted, and it's been a favorite target of the Conservative Party for years. Backbenchers and cabinet ministers have consistently circulated petitions to defund or abolish the CBC. People like Dean Del Maestro have consistently tried to say that the Canadian government should get out of the broadcasting industry, quote unquote, despite the fact that James Moore once promised to maintain or increase funding to the CBC in the last election campaign. That was a promise he made, which has obviously since been broken. So I think it is very ideologically motivated, yeah.
Now, you've got a big event coming up next week, which you mentioned at the Vote. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Sure. The event is actually coming up on May 7th. So that's going to be sort of a big reimagined CBC celebration. So what we're doing is we're bringing in storytellers like Ivan Coyote and community members, people like Christine McAvoy and some sort of other speakers, Steve Pratt from CBC Radio 3, to talk about the role that the CBC plays in their lives in building community, what role it's had in their past as cultural producers and filmmakers and artists, and then sort of like what it holds for the future, talking about where can we go from that legacy. We've got 75 years of history behind us. What's the next 75 years going to look like? So it's going to be a sort of living room style conversation. And then it's also going to feature some really fantastic performances. So a really amazing intercultural drumming and music performance and kind of a super group that we've built, which is really exciting, with some really fantastic local artists, Aidan Knight, Dan Mangan, Zach Gray from the Zolas, and Hannah Epperson. So it's going to be great.
Wow, sounds really good.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for joining me this morning.
Not at all. Thank you for having me.
I've been speaking with Tyler Morgenstern. The Reimagine the CBC celebration in Vancouver takes place on Monday, May the 7th, and it's at the Vogue Theatre from 7 to 10 p.m., and doors will open at 6.